From NPR News in Washington, I'm Nora Rahm. The State Department announced this afternoon it will begin flying Americans out of Egypt tomorrow on special government-chartered flights. Anti-Egypt demonstrations continued for a sixth day in Egypt in defiance of a government curfew. There have been reports of scattered looting and prison breaks. Assistant Secretary of State for Consular Affairs Janice Jacobs said the government is doing all it can to reach Americans in Egypt.
We are employing every communications medium, websites, email, call centers, radio, and TV, to get information out to U.S. citizens on the ground in Egypt who are understandably worried.
Jacobs said Americans should consider leaving Egypt as soon as they can safely do so. She said the embassy in Cairo is open for emergency services, and the State Department is sending extra personnel to Egypt to assist. Earlier today, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton told NBC's Meet the Press the U.S. government is in touch with Egyptian authorities about getting Americans out of harm's way.
We're working closely with the Egyptian government to ensure the safety of American citizens. We have authorized a voluntary departure. We're reaching out to American citizens.
Clinton appeared today on five television talk shows saying the U.S. has made it clear it wants to see a transition to democracy in Egypt. While the U.S. tries to get its citizens out, others are trying to leave Egypt as well. NPR's Soraya Sahardi-Nelson is in Cairo and reports on the attempted exodus.
They're scared. They want to leave. They're just looking to get out. A lot of these people have dual passports, Egyptian and another place, and they're just trying to get out of here as fast as they can. But these are the Egyptians who are leaving. Obviously, tourists who've come here have a different story. I mean, they came here to see the sights and have been caught in a revolution that they weren't counting on.
NPR's Soraya Sahardi-Nelson. Israelis are nervously watching events in Egypt. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says Israel wants to preserve its peaceful ties. Linda Gradstein reports.
In his first public comment since the protests began in Egypt 6 days ago, Netanyahu told the Israeli cabinet that the peace between Israel and Egypt has lasted for more than three decades, and Israel's objective is to make sure that it continues. He also said that Israel must exercise responsibility and restraint in the face of the unrest. Israel yesterday evacuated the families of its diplomats and some tourists and urged all of its citizens to leave Egypt. Israel's peace treaty with Egypt, signed in 1979, is one of the linchpins of Israel's security doctrine. Israel and Egypt also have strong intelligence cooperation. For NPR News, I'm Linda Gradstein in Jerusalem.
President Obama spoke by telephone with Netanyahu yesterday, as well as with the leaders of Turkey and Saudi Arabia. A White House statement said the president reiterated his opposition to violence and his call for restraint. This is NPR News. Officials in Sudan announced today preliminary results show the southern part of the country voted overwhelmingly to split from the north. Unless there are legal challenges to the referendum, South Sudan will be able to declare independence from the north on July 9th. State-controlled television in Ivory Coast is dominated by talk of the African Union summit, which opened today in Ethiopia. From Abidjan, NPR's Ophebia Quist-Arkton reports the organization has created a panel of African leaders to try to resolve the presidential standoff in Ivory Coast.
The appointment of African presidents to study the Ivorian crisis and report back within a month with what's being called a binding agreement is being hotly debated here in Abidjan. The decision follows a mediation mission by the African Union head, Malawi's president, Bingu wa Mutharika. He held talks with both Ivory Coast's disputed incumbent, Laurent Gbagbo, and his rival, Alassane Ouattara, widely recognized as president-elect.
I believe the problem of Cote d'Ivoire will be solved by the people of Cote d'Ivoire. What we need as the United Nations, the African Union, is to give support to the solution of the post-election crisis.
Bingu hinted that possible military force to oust Gbagbo had been shelved. Ophebia Quist-Arkton, NPR News, Abidjan.
In South Africa, hundreds of people filled a church in the black township of Soweto today to pray for Nelson Mandela. The former president spent 2 days in a hospital last week. Mandela is 92. He was the first black president in South Africa after serving 27 years in prison for fighting apartheid. I'm Nora Rahm, NPR News in Washington.